You are not far from the kingdom of God. When I hear that phrase, there's like a great desire that wells up in my soul. And a sadness. I'm not far, I'm close, and yet I want to be there. Like, I'm not far, you are not far from the kingdom of God. The scribe comes to the Lord. The scribes at the time of Jesus were the educated men of the day. They were the literate ones. They were the ones who were to read the scriptures and interpret them for others to believe, for others to practice. And so he has this intellectual bent as he comes to Jesus, and he's got this legitimate question: of all the commandments that are present in the Old Testament, which of these is first? Which is the greatest? And Jesus, being the smart guy in the room, he tells him, the first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the scribe says to Jesus, well said, teacher, which is almost a little bit condescending. It's like, great job, guy, you know, you answered well. And Jesus, yes, what a brilliant answer, but he's not getting this, just pulling it from his own head. This was written centuries before in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read it in the first reading today. This was handed down to them. Hear, O Israel, the great Shema prayer. The Hebrew word Shema means to hear or to listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Teach them. Teach others what you see and observe in me. And then the scripture goes on in Deuteronomy. It says, drill these things into your children. Drill them into your children. Whether you're at home or you're away from home, your children need to hear that God is God and that you are to give your entire self to him. So in Jewish families growing up, both then and now, three times a day, you as a family, you as an individual person, would pray this prayer, Hear, O Israel. It would have been as familiar to them as the Our Father is to us. This was on the tips of their tongues all of the time. Hear, O Israel. You can imagine Jesus being taken aside by Joseph and by Mary as a little boy and being taught this prayer. That little Jesus has to say these words, The Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But we know that our faith can't just be this intellectual project. Jesus tells the scribe, you are not far from the kingdom. You're not far, but you're not there yet. If we just see Jesus as a teacher, someone that I can learn from, but maybe I don't necessarily have to follow, that Jesus says nice things, but I'm not really willing to heed a new way of life. I'm not really willing to abandon my nets and to seek after him. Then we'll always remain not far from the kingdom, but maybe not completely there. And so when you look at this and you do a little bit of an examination, you say, the Lord our God is Lord alone. That we have to ask ourselves, do I have other gods in my life? Are there other things I'm more preoccupied with? More things that sort of captivate me in my daily existence? Or is he the Lord of my life? Does Jesus sit on the throne of my heart? Or has something else taken its place? First and foremost, we do. Our own ego, our own pride takes over from the Lord and bumps him off the place that he deserves to reside. Like, I know all of you love the Lord. That's why you're here. You love the Lord in some form or fashion. But to ask the question, do I love the Lord with all of my heart? All of it. And if we're honest, the answer is often no. That we don't love him with all of our heart. We don't trust him completely with every little facet of our life. We let anxieties creep up too much. Other things take the pride of place. Sometimes I love sports too much, Lord. And YouTube is a huge temptation. I don't give you all of my heart, every waking moment of the day. To love the Lord with all of your soul. that he is the consuming concern of my life, that I'm not given over to the frivolous things that sort of everybody else has, all the distractions, but that at the end of the day and in the beginning of each day, Jesus is the concern of my life, to love him with all of my mind, that as my mind is preoccupied with anxieties and fears and worries, all these different distractions, that I can swim through all of that and realize that the Lord is the one who's guiding, who's directing all of this, that it is going to be okay so long as I continue to surrender myself to what it is he's putting before me, and to love the Lord with all of my strength. Like, there is effort involved. There's a spiritual discipline, a spiritual muscle that we have to exercise, that we can grow in virtue. We can grow in the gift of prayer. We can grow in the discipline of gratitude. And it often requires some sort of effort. Am I giving the Lord my best effort, my best strength? So many times we have to answer, I'm not far from the kingdom, but I'm not there yet, Lord. How is it that you're calling me to grow closer to you? How is it that you're drawing me more into your life? This week is National Vocations Awareness Week, which I'm so jazzed about, y'all. It's National Vocations Awareness Week. By the end of this homily, you're going to know something about vocations, I promise you. That we in the church have so many ways that the Lord calls us to be fully alive. First and foremost, in terms of vocations, to be a married person, to give yourself generously to your husband or to your wife, to be faithful as you promise on your wedding day, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love and honor each other all the days of your life. That sacramental marriage becomes the image of God the Father's love for us, that you become a sacrament, a sign to the world of how God loves his children. And we fail in that all the time, and we need to forgive, and we need to reconcile. But that before all else, before you show that to the world, you will show that to your children. You will impress upon them how it is that God loves, how God is generous, how God is merciful, how God is compassionate, how God is strong, how God has great expectations for us, how God can encourage us along the difficulties of this world. We need faithful men and women who give themselves to each other in sacramental marriage. But we also need priests. We need priests because we need the Eucharist, and we need confession. We need to be absolved from our sins. We need someone to be there the last moment someone in our life is taking their dying breath, to walk this person, to see them, to meet Jesus Christ face to face. We need priests, and we need religious sisters and religious men who show us the way that we can fully give ourselves to the Lord. It was amazing this summer being in India and working with the missionaries of charity, these women who have taken up the banner of Mother Teresa to serve the poorest of the poor. And I don't get to spend a lot of time with religious sisters, but it was a blast and a half, folks. It was so much fun. They're making fun of me, I'm making fun of them. Like, we're encouraging each other, but we're sweating side by side saying, how is it that we get to serve the Lord? And we call them sister because they are to take care of us as a sister. And it was so much fun. I felt like more of a priest because I could see these brides of Christ who had given their lives to the Lord. They had left households and family and possessions behind so that Jesus could become the consuming concern of their lives. In the church we have, it's a beautiful bouquet of vocations. St. Therese of Lisieux says that if every tiny flower wanted to be a rose, spring would lose its loveliness. If every tiny flower wanted to be a rose, spring would lose its loveliness. That God has decorated the church, the body of Christ, with all these different ways that you and I are to follow him. And this week in particular, National Vocations Awareness Week, we need to take a step back to beg the question, not just, hey, Lord, here are my life plans. This is kind of what I want. But to say, Lord, what are you doing with my life? What do you desire for me? Am I open to your plan for my life? And to give you just a part of my own story, like the Lord works in incredible ways and he meets us where we are. When I was in high school, I think this would have aptly described me, that I wasn't far from the kingdom, but I wasn't there. I would pray every day. I had told the Lord time and again, I would pray every day. I'd say, Jesus, I want to do your will for my life. I had grace enough to know that my plans at the end of the day wouldn't fulfill me, wouldn't be sufficient. So I wanted to invest in whatever the Lord wanted. So I placed myself before him and say, Jesus, you just show me what you want for my life, and I want to be faithful. I want to heed whatever it is that you desire for me. I'm not far from the kingdom, going to Mass. I go to confession regularly, and yet I'm tempted by the world. So this gets a little bit unsavory, but stick with me, folks. I hadn't drank in high school. I had been holding out. I'm at parties pretty much every weekend, and I'm the virtuous one, the shining light. You know, I'm just the epitome of virtue. You don't need to praise me, you know. But then my junior year of high school, I get introduced into a new friend group. I'm at a house party. I've got a big crush on a girl who's there. I'm out of my element. Sure as sin, somebody hands me a Bud Light, and before I know it, I'm like, that looks really good. And, you know, my sin. It was me. I lied to my parents. It was disobedient. I'm not endorsing underage drinking. But as I'm there, meeting a whole bunch of new people, there's this guy, Mark, who ends up being one of my good buddies. And Mark, as he's learning about me, he says, you seem really devoted to the Lord, as we're smashing Bud Lights, you know? He says, you seem really devoted to the Lord. Have you ever thought about going on a retreat at the seminary? I go every year. And I was not expecting that. And I said, I haven't thought about it, but I think I'd really be open to it. And he says, well, we're going to go in November. And God can write straight with the crooked lines that we give him. And I showed up at the seminary in November, have this overwhelming sense of peace, which was like an OMG moment, you know? Like, I don't know if I want this for my life, but I've been praying this whole time, Lord, I'll do what you want so long as you show me. I wasn't far from the kingdom, but I had to keep showing up and saying yes. I think it's easy for us to say, to put obstacles in front of the Lord about the ways that he can't encounter us because of my sin or because of my past or because of what I've done or this thing or that thing. But if the Lord is still asking for your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole strength, he's going to encounter you in the ways that he can. And do not disqualify yourself for the gospel. Do not disqualify yourself for becoming a devout follower of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is still calling men and women to follow him in a unique way. Husbands and wives, priests, religious men and women, however it is, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And yet you and I are not there yet. How is my heart being converted to love him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength? Let's flame that desire for the Lord's kingdom so that we too can follow him as Lord and Master.